Yeah, so we, many people know here that we run a ministry called Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship at Virginia Tech. And again, yeah, we came 13 years ago. And honestly, we didn't know what we were getting into, to be honest. I mean, we ran with a ministry at UVA that was a few hundred students. And forgive me of my little cold this morning. But we ran with a ministry that had a few hundred students, and we came. There was a guy that was running before us, and we took over. There's about maybe 20 students that were involved, and Brittany, the reason why we have such a deep relationship with Tridestone is that Brittany happened to commit before she knew what she was getting into. So she committed to the guy that was before us that she would come and do staff, and then he left and left her with us. So it's amazing that they would still invite us back after those 4 years that Brittany got to work with us and Eric as he was finishing up there. And so we've gotten to see amazing things over the year. When we came here, we had felt like God say that Virginia Tech was going to be a springboard to the nations. And we've been praying into that since. So for 13 years, we've been praying God would use what happens at Virginia Tech and it would impact the nations. I think we really, our heartbeat is really the Great Commission, right? That we understand that all authority has been given to him. And because all authority has been given to him, then we are to go and make disciples, right? And that we would also not just baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but to teach them to obey all that he commanded, right? And that he'd be with us as we went into the campus to do that. And we have witnessed his faithfulness to his word as we've gone to do this, right? Last year with COVID, we had decided that we were going to just continue to go after it. I don't know what anybody else was going to do, but we felt like God had called us to reach students. And statistically, right, they say, our good friend Barna, he says that 86% of students, when they graduate, they die believing what they believe when they graduate from college. Well, if you do the math, right, at Virginia Tech, there's over 30,000 students that come to school here. There's only 1,500 that say that they're believers. That doesn't necessarily mean they are, right? Because we understand that in this world, there's a lot of people that use the term Christian, but yet they don't follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Right, that we just assume that almost like what I've learned even on campus all these years is I'll meet students who they're a Christian because they go to church on Sunday, right? Like, and honestly, they really believe that wholeheartedly because they've never been discipled. They've never been discipled. That actually, no, that doesn't make you a believer. That doesn't make you a Christian just because you stepped in a building on Sunday morning, right? Just like we know it doesn't make us an NBA basketball player because we step into a gymnasium one day and touch a basketball, right? Like, we understand that reality, but our hope and our desire is that we raise up a generation that will not bow their knee to anything else but Jesus Christ, right? That their hearts will be sold out for God. Last year, we got every week, like, it seemed like Virginia Tech was giving out a new order of what we could and could not do. And so we started way back in July. We were preparing, and literally we'd have these staff meetings, and we would all day, Monday through Friday, we were having these staff meetings in July, and we'd finally come up with a strategy. And then the next week, a new statement would come out and had to rechange our whole strategy. And we're like, what are we going to do? So we just kept pressing in, and by the end, we realized that we could, if we would just honor the authority, right? If we would just honor the government and honor Virginia Tech, that there's actually a way that we could still do ministry. And so we bought and we purchased, right, I think 20 touchless thermometers. We invested in masks. We invested in a whole lot of hand sanitizer, right? And we did everything that they asked us to do. And so we were not allowed to meet in a building on campus, because you weren't allowed to sing inside. And so we had services outside. We actually divided our fellowship up into 7 different smaller groups. And so we had 7 services a week, 40-plus life groups that we're meeting. And every meeting that we had, you came in, your temperature was taken, you were recorded. We went through all of the steps. And by the end of that year, we still saw 80 students give their life to Jesus in the midst of COVID, right? Amen. I want to share specifically about a couple of these guys. One of these guys' names, he didn't give his life to the Lord, but he came from a solid church background, but his faith was set on fire. His name was Jeremy, and Jeremy was in a life group, and he and I would meet every other week, and we would study the scriptures, and we'd talk about it. By the end of his first semester, his heart became not just about attending, but literally when we came back from the new year, I asked them, what did they hope God does in and through their life this year? And Jeremy said, I want to see more people encounter Jesus like I did. And so he has, again, stepped out in greater faith on our campus. And this year, he's actually leading a Bible study or a life group. And Jeremy has been investing in this one man named Alex. And Alex came to a work day that we did. We went to a retreat center, and first time I ever met Alex. And so even though I'm meeting with Jeremy on a regular basis, I heard his name, and we were praying for him together. And Alex came to this work day that we were doing. First time I ever met Alex, just a great young man, just loved to serve, but didn't know Jesus. And so we spent the night there on that campground after working all day, and he encountered God. We just started to break out in worship around the campfire. And again, he felt God's presence in a way he had never known before. He didn't give his life to Jesus that day, but the next week he came to a service that we had a month and a half ago. He came to a service, and after I was done speaking, he came forward and responded, raised his hand to receive Christ. But he had an encounter that night. Like, he ran to the altar and was just weeping and shaking in the presence of God that day. And Alex has been a part of our ministry since, right? Alex, again, what I love about it is that we believe, right, that all believers are called to make disciples. Like, if you're a Christian, that we're called to make disciples, to go and make disciples, because he promises to be with us, his authority. And actually, we see this throughout Scripture, right? That when he would send his disciples out, he would delegate his authority to them. Then they would go, and he would challenge them, right, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, and preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Like, this was God's, right? This is how he would commission them in those times. Well, this is the end, right? He's risen from the dead, and right here at the end of Matthew, we see this great commission: go and make disciples. All authority has been given. Do we walk in that authority, and are we willing to invest in other people's lives to see them, right, come to, not only just come to know Jesus, but then to walk it out and make more disciples? And so Kai Alpha wants to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Jeremy is making a disciple, right? He was discipled. Now he's making a disciple. There's another young man named Sam. Sam came from a broken home, and last year was a freshman in the COVID year, right? And he wasn't looking for God, but he played this game called soccer in Chi Alpha because of COVID, right? We had a little bit, right? Things were kind of slowed down a little bit for us, and so it was sweet. We had the whole community going out on Wednesdays up to the turf field from 10 to 12. Every Wednesday we'd go and we'd play soccer. And Sam got pulled into that. And so he started showing up, and there was about 40 of us playing this game every Wednesday afternoon or morning. And Sam got pulled in, and through that got plugged into a Bible study. Through that started coming to the service, one of the seven services that we were having, actually the one that was held here, one of the ones that was held here. We had a couple. And Sam recommitted his life to Jesus. He got baptized in the parking lot right outside of this building, and his father came up that day because his father was a believer but was not sure where his son was at and just could not believe that his son would make this kind of a decision in his college years. I mean, just was crying with me as we were celebrating his son saying yes to Jesus and being willing to make a public profession of that in front of his peers, right? And that's a big deal in this age. Well, Sam then invited me to come speak at his church this summer. And I did not know what I was getting into. because it was a completely Spanish-speaking congregation, right? And I don't speak Spanish, so. But it was a whole lot of fun, and he was really touched that day. Sam has just never been the same. And this year, he's leading a Bible study. He brought the leader, the president of the secular club on campus to one of our large group meetings. I said, how'd you do this? He said, well, I started going to the secular club. I said, why'd you do that? Because, well, if we don't go to them, how are they going to know about Jesus? Come on, right? Like this kid, he's getting it, right? He gets it. Well, I think something happened the other week that he'll never be the same. We've continued this kind of thought process, right? So we're doing four smaller services a week, and once a month we come all together as Chi Alpha, and we've been coming together on Fridays. So a couple, our October service, Friday night, we have the service, and then we're launching our missions for the summer. So we're going to five different nations over the summer for 3 weeks, and we're doing this thing back at the Chi Alpha house. But Sam and one of the guys in my life group this year, his name is Gio, decided before they came back to the missions expo thing that we were doing, they would go to Benny's and get some pizza. So they went to Benny's, and they're sitting there at the picnic benches outside, Benny's. And they're sitting there watching this guy come walking up, and he's had a little bit too much to drink. And so he's really disoriented, right? Like they're watching him, waiting to see if he's going to fall or whatever. And so they're like, let's go talk to this guy. And so they're about to go talk to this guy, but he decided, unfortunately, to use a tree as a bathroom right outside Benny's. And after that, he passes out. Like he falls to the ground and passes out. Well, these guys get up from the bench and they walk over and they grab him, and he's almost completely, out of it. But they're like, hey, are you a freshman? And he shook his head, yes. So they started walking him back to campus because the majority of the freshmen live on campus. So they're carrying him. And as they're walking back to campus, this big guy, Gio, is carrying him, and he starts to stumble, right? And Sam goes, bro, people are going to think you're high. And he goes, oh, I'm not high. I'm just high on Jesus. And all of a sudden, this kid that they're carrying goes, Jesus? You guys know Jesus? And they're like, yeah, we know Jesus. And he's like, I'm thinking Jesus might be my only way out of this. And they're like, Jesus is your only way out of this, right? And so they get him back, and they get his number, and then the next day they grab lunch with him, and they sit down and talk with him. This young man says, the only thing I remember from last night is our conversation about Jesus. And he asks more about Jesus that day. So then he comes to our life group that Sunday night, gets to be in his first ever Bible study. Tuesday, he comes to service, and he surrenders his life to Jesus. We met him Friday. He's come. The following week, this young man decided to go home to escape the temptation of the weekend. I mean, we're talking transformation, right? Who at 18 years old, within a week's time, all of a sudden decides to make a decision like that? He has not missed anything that we have done this semester since coming to know Jesus just a few weeks ago. This young man will never be the same. But I also believe Sam and Gio will never be the same from that moment. Right? Like, what they experienced in that moment will forever change their life. Do you remember that time when I was in college and we picked up that guy off the ground and he's now a brother in Christ? I share all of these things, right? Because they're not just the fruit of Chi Alpha, they're the fruit of Tridestone, as you guys have invested in us over these years. And as I said, we want to be a springboard to the nations. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have a couple, a young lady and her husband and their baby, who's serving in the nation of Chad, who also gave her life to Jesus her freshman year at Virginia Tech. And now she's reaching Muslims in another nation, right? Again, because you guys have said yes to get behind us. This is your fruit, right? That they're raising their firstborn. I think that's pretty radical, right? We have a couple right now that is raising two kids on the field in Kyrgyzstan, right? That has been sent out from Virginia Tech. We have people that, as you guys Actually, I'm sure you've met a guy by the name of Nick Huber who came in, just was set on fire, an amazing disciple maker. He felt the call of God to go start Chi Alpha at Boston College. Listen to this story. This is amazing. So we launched him out this past summer, and he moved to Boston, praying about when to start. We're about to send a few more people his way from our staff team. And he's on the ground and got permission from the network up there to just begin investigating what they would be allowed to do at Boston College. So he goes into the meeting with some administrators, and he says, "Hey, I work with a ministry called Chi Alpha, and I would like to know if I could start, or if you would be open to Chi Alpha being here at Boston College." And the guy looked at him, he said, "You're kidding." He said, "Because I've held this chapter open for 15 years. Chi Alpha had not been there for 15 years. And he said, "Actually, this year they came to me and they said, 'Hey, you need to close this account for Chi Alpha since they've been inactive for 15 years. He said, "Give me one more year. Let me leave it open for one more year. And now you're sitting in my office, right?" But not only did it open up the door from the start, they also had money for him. They've been holding money for Chi Alpha for when Chi Alpha came. So Nick Huber has started at Boston College. He leads a life group. He's got a life group of four guys on Monday nights, and then he does a community group on Tuesdays where they come in and have dinner, and he's got about nine people coming to that meeting where they have dinner, and then they discuss different, you know, deep questions like what's the purpose of life. And and we're about to send, we have a young lady on staff right now. Well, she's a second year intern. She's going to head out, and there's two others praying about joining him in Boston. And so again, right, that wouldn't happen if his life wasn't altered at Virginia Tech. I mean, he was an engineer, right? And now he's making disciples in Boston College. So again, that is your fruit. I don't know if you guys know this either, but there is a director in Fort Myers, Florida, running Chi Alpha from Virginia Tech, also got radically saved at Virginia Tech. Right now, there's a young man at Radford University who's leading Chi Alpha who also had encounter with Jesus at Virginia Tech. And so again, this is not like, "Hey, look at us." This is Jesus is moving on these campuses. Nobody comes to a secular university to go into full-time ministry. Right? We've got engineers leading the way on campuses around the nation. And this is just the beginning. We started an internship program just 5 years ago. And this is what's happening already. And they told us when we opened the internship, they did all these studies and they said, you know, the least likely university to develop interns and cast them out are the STEM universities, right? The science and technology universities. Like, and even in that time, a friend of mine looked at me and said, "But you're going to change. You're going to skew the data." And I said, "Well, I'll just receive that, you know, in Jesus' name." And so we've also started a second-year internship with a global emphasis that actually Michelle runs and teaches all the second-year classes. And they spend 3 months overseas. So in January, we're going to send, is it eight? We're going to send eight second-year interns to different nations around the world. Two are going to go to Thailand. Two are going to go to Tanzania. Two are going to go to Cairo. And where's it? And Japan. So we really believe this is, again, just the beginning, that we're going to start seeing more and more students catch fire at Virginia Tech and be sent, right, and step into full-time ministry. So thank you so much. I would say our greatest prayer need right now is there's just not enough space for Chi Alpha. Our leaders' meetings, we just don't have a space big enough to continue to meet regularly. We've had some opportunities come our way with these big commercial buildings that we've looked in and investigated, and it's obviously a matter of resources. So just be praying for us, because again, like, there's things out there, but we really do need a space. And Because we've now kind of gone this direction, right, even it becomes challenging, not just for leaders' meetings, but, you know, if we want to do a worship night where it's just extended hours, you know, we're grateful for our partnerships with the churches. You know, we were just here last night with a group worshiping for a few hours last night, and about, a fourth of our ministry last night was here. And so, again, just these are just things that I would just put before you. How can you partner with us? We definitely need your prayer. We need to figure out, right, like we need the resources in order to. And I really believe that we want to plant the flag of Chi Alpha in Blacksburg that long after Michelle and Anthony are gone, that there's still room, right? Long after we're gone, that there's still a place. But we also understand with secular universities, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, they could come up tomorrow and say no more religious organizations, and obviously it would be a fight. We'd be able to have a conversation for years to come. But one day it may be that Chi Alpha and Crew and IVE and all these campus ministries are not allowed on a secular university. And we just want to be prepared, just in case that happens, that we'd also have a place right off campus to be able to continue to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So anyway, thank you so much, babe. You got anything?
Yeah, I am so grateful to be here with you guys today. Sometimes I don't often get to be with Anthony at the churches on Sunday, and a lot of times that was from reasons of having babies, lots of babies and children's ministry and things like that going on. So it's so good to be with you guys this Sunday. And I just want to add a little bit to what Anthony was sharing. Again, just want to say thank you to Tridestone Christian Fellowship, and thank you to Pastor Eric and Brittany. It's funny, as Anthony's talking about, you know, what God has done through Virginia Tech. He takes a bunch of engineers and puts them in ministry. There we go, Eric. You guys have the full effect of that with Eric and Brittany. God radically touched their lives as college students, and they went into ministry from college. And Eric and Brittany stand out as like forerunners to us in that, as those who've served as local church pastors. And it's amazing, and we've seen others as well go into the pastorate from campus ministry and from Chi Alpha, and it's amazing. So yeah, God has just been doing things all over. He's sending people. We, again, like Anthony said, we thought primarily when we came here, we felt like that God would be using the chapter to primarily see salvations and then farm out what we call missionaries that would be more global and go overseas. And we've definitely seen that, and that's happening. But now we're seeing everything. Now we're seeing, you know, pastors get like Eric and Brittany, we're seeing people get pastor jobs, local church pastors, assistant pastors, and we're seeing more Chi Alpha chapters being established all around the nation. And then, like Anthony said, 5 years ago, we became a nationally accredited internship program. And so people are coming from all over the nation to train right here at Virginia Tech to be missionaries. And as they finish out their time with us, most of them go into full-time ministry, which is awesome. And they feel more equipped and more prepared for that, which is so neat, is so cool. So I just want to emphasize again the partnership that we have with you guys. Thank you guys so much for supporting us in prayer and financially. And also, just to let you guys know, you guys are, last year, it was so fun, there was a weekly service being held here, and Anthony and I would come in here, and there'd be bulletins on the chairs for the students that would say, hey, welcome Chi Alpha, and the students love that. It was amazing, that kind of hospitality, and just opening up this space for the students is huge, because had Tridestone not opened up their space for us, we would not have been able to continue to minister to students the way we were able to last year, because we couldn't get on campus. And so we're so grateful for Tridestone Christian Fellowship, which is all of you guys. Thank you for allowing the students to come in here. And not only that, for ministering to them in hospitality, loving on them. You guys have had many students come through here. You've seen them on your stages, on your worship teams, in your space. And so this church is so effective in that. And we know you guys' love for college students, and we're so thankful. And like I said, we would not have been able to do what we were able to do last year if it weren't for Tridstone Christian Fellowship. And Anthony didn't share this, but actually last year we probably had our greatest like numerical involvement in the chapter when we were predicted to have the least involvement in the chapter based off of, like Eric was saying, some of the mandates that were coming down to us. We had last year, we ended the year with 380 students involved in Chi Alpha. And like Anthony said, at least maybe a quarter of them were giving their lives to Jesus. And so it was probably one of our most fruitful years. Can you believe that? In the pandemic, God did some of his most fruitful work as we were just faithful to seek him, but also because of our partnership locally with churches here in Blacksburg. So we're so grateful for you guys. I just want to close and leave you guys with this quick exhortation. Anthony and I love when we get invited to churches just to give an encouragement and an exhortation as we're closing out. And one thing we love about Tridstone Christian Fellowship is just the spirit of hospitality here and the spirit of generosity. We've been able to come here and know this congregation, and we especially know your pastors really well. And this is a congregation that loves well, is very generous, and is very hospitable. And so it's amazing to see the ways that you guys have opened up this space, and you've opened up your lives to one another, but also to students. And we're so grateful for that. And I just want to encourage you guys that sometimes when we're in the cusp of something, of seeing breakthrough in something, sometimes we faint and we give up, right? It's easy, right as we're about to see a breakthrough in something, we start to lose ourselves. Sometimes the enemy will attack us and will say, you're not effective, or you're not doing this, or you're whatnot. We want to be true to who we are, and we want to remain, and we want to hold fast in those seasons. We want to hold fast and stay the course no matter what winds and waves are coming at us. And as a congregation and as a fellowship here in Blacksburg, we just want to encourage you guys, continue to be who you are. Anthony and I truly believe, and we're exhorting churches right now, that one of the best and the most effective ministries right now is hospitality. Because of the isolation and the numbness and the anxiety that the pandemic has brought in the last 2 years, one of the greatest ways we can reach someone right now is through the ministry of hospitality. And hospitality, when we think about hospitality, I think sometimes we think, oh, well, that's easy, or, oh, that's just bringing somebody into our home or whatnot. But although that is partially hospitality, right? Hospitality is essentially putting others above ourselves, especially when it's inconvenient, right? And hospitality is never easy. I want to exhort us, it's never easy. And so I love this, and hospitality has its roots in generosity. And so I just wanted to read to you guys real quickly a scripture that has been standing out to me in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul's kind of exhorting the church in 2 Corinthians on just the topic of generosity. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, he says, "And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." And then in verses 8 through 9, it says, "I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." And so when we think about rich, being rich and poor, right, very few of us ever intentionally became less poor to make other people rich. And maybe we've done some things to make others rich, and not just rich in financially, but rich in emotionally, spiritually, right, mentally. But none of us have done what Christ did, who literally made himself poor and so that we could become rich. And he gave up heaven, right? And he became a man and suffered and died. And so thinking about the sacrifice of the gospel, right, and the intentionality of Christ who was so generous that he gave up the richness of fellowship and in his time with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, right, to come to earth, right? How much more so should we as a church, right, continue to follow his example by being living sacrifices, right? And continue in the spirit of generosity and continue to make it our life goal and ambition to do what Paul is saying here, which is giving ourselves first and foremost to the Lord, amen, through abiding, pressing into Christ, prayer, fasting, right, giving him our whole hearts, but secondly, to reach others, believers and non-Christians. We become poor so that others can become rich, and that's essentially what discipleship is, right, guys? It's putting others ahead of ourselves, right, making ourselves poor so that others can become rich in Christ. And one of the greatest causes of generosity and hospitality is giving people our time, right? As we get older, we have less and less time. And we can also, as we get older, be more stubborn to give people our time, right? We often don't want to give people our time. And Anthony and I can say that college ministry is a time ministry. College students are so relational. They want your time from morning till night. They want to be with you at all times of the day. And that's where something God has just convicted us is, how are we becoming like Christ and making ourselves poor so others can be rich? And yes, that includes monetarily giving to them and giving to students, but also giving them another great resource that we have very little of as we get older, and that's time. And so one of the greatest ways we can continue as Tridstone Christian Fellowship in the ministry of hospitality and generosity is to give people our time. Give Christ our time. Give each other time in this congregation. Because, right, guys, if we're not giving each other our time, how will we give it to others outside of the body, right? If we're not willing to go to each other's houses, spend time with one another in Bible study, if we're not willing to come here, if we're not willing to pray together, if we're not willing to sacrifice some time for one another here, how will we do it for the lost 4 miles away at Virginia Tech, right? And so God is calling us to be poor and give people one of the greatest resources we have in this post-pandemic era, which is time. It's time. And it's weird for missionaries to come up here and say the best thing you can do right now is give people time, right? Because missionaries always say, please give us your money, right? And we need money too, right? We need money too to continue the work of Christ. But as we're exhorting churches, we want to exhort people, and especially generous churches like Tridstone who are generous monetarily, to continue, like Paul said, in your generosity by giving people your time, giving them your time. And as we do that, we really believe that we'll be following the first and greatest commandment of loving God and loving others, but we'll also be walking in the Great Commission, right, which is go into the world and make disciples of the nations. And so people will say to Anthony and I all the time, how do you make disciples? And honestly, that is one of the key parts of it, is offering our life in our time. And I just want to exhort one more thing as well. Paul also in 1 Corinthians talks to the church and he says, wow, you know, you guys have a lot of teachers, but you don't have a lot of spiritual fathers. You have a lot of teachers, but not a lot of fathers. And so something, Anthony and I, that's been on our heart is as we grow in the Lord and as we age in the Lord, we get hungry to teach. We want to teach each other, right? We think and we believe this is our ministries. I want to teach you. I want to teach this. If I could just do one thing in ministry, it's to teach. Or if Pastor Eric or Brittany would let me teach, then I'm doing it all for the Lord. But let's remember, teaching is a powerful ministry. But where we often and where Paul will often comment is that, again, everybody wants to teach, but not everybody wants to be a spiritual father or mother. That is a work that's different than teaching. That's, again, laying down your life. And that's a work that's behind the scenes. It's a slow-growing fruit, right? And so I want to commend us that in the days ahead, not only is the Lord looking for churches that are hospitable and give time, but the Lord is also looking for spiritual mothers and fathers. It's really easy for us as spiritual people to not focus on what's right under our noses, right? And to think and to be like way out there and be thinking, this is what God has for me in this time. But we can overlook the ministry that is the most obvious and the most important sometimes. And it's spiritually mothering and fathering, making disciples in our own home, right, with our children, but also making disciples in our congregation and then right outside of our congregation, right? So you can't live in Blacksburg, Virginia. We say this to every church we go to in Blacksburg. You can't live in Blacksburg, Virginia and not consider Virginia Tech to be a part of your ministry. If you moved here, you have a call to Virginia Tech. There's something about Virginia Tech that's a place in your heart. There's something about this huge school right across us. So God, one of the best ways we can reach Virginia Tech, not just by supporting and praying for the missionaries that are there, is to become spiritual mothers and fathers and to say, wow, there's 30,000 fatherless and motherless students 4 miles down the road from me who have no spiritual mothers and fathers in their life, nobody to encourage them spiritually, nobody to reach them. And if we wait, church, for them to come through our doors, it will be a missed opportunity, because when it comes to secular college students, the best way to get to the best way to reach them is to go to them. And so we just want to continue to pray for you guys. We continue to exhort you guys to continue to be who you are, be generous, be hospitable, and keep taking it up to the next level as spiritual mothers and fathers, and offer yourselves to this next generation. Don't believe the lies that you have nothing to give and they don't want to have anything to do with you. You're too old or you're not relevant anymore. Listen, that's a lie from the enemy. Anthony and I are getting older and older and less relevant, but the needs are getting greater and greater, and we're tempted to believe that lie too, and that's a lie that knocks church people out of the discipleship process. Okay, and so just lay down that lie and say, God, I live, there's something about me coming to Tridestone Christian Fellowship and something about Virginia Tech. You've got a place for me here. Michelle and Anthony say, be generous, be hospitable, be spiritual mothers and fathers, make disciples. Thank you guys so much for having us this morning. So great to be here.